and reflect that it is Thursday, March 7th at 1:35 p.m. Our LIO moderator is Shelby Carroll. Our committee secretary today is Leah Frazier, and we appreciate their help. Our members present today are Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Representative Cologne, Representative Cronk, Representative Tomaszewski, and myself, Representative Johnson. And we are at the final round of subcommittee closeout reports. They're very exciting. Legislative Finance is in the room with us to help us if we have any questions. And we will begin with the legislature presenting Representative Foster's committee, Representative Foster's committee aide, Brody Anderson. And Mr. Anderson, if you'd like to come to the table and begin your presentation. And I guess while he's getting to the table, just to check to see if anyone has any questions. Not seeing any, it's all yours, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. Today we'll be referencing the narrative subcommittee closeout document dated March 6, 2024. Legislature subcommittee recommends the following, the subcommittee makes the following recommendation in fund sources for unrestricted general funds, $82,848,300. In DGF or designated general funds, recommend $639,900. In other funds, $332,400. And the legislature does not receive any federal funds, so that is zero, for a total of $83,820,600. In regards to the unrestricted UGF, the difference for the FY25 adjusted base to the recommendation of the House subcommittee closeout is an increase of $1,504,500, which is an increase of approximately 1.8%. Currently, the workforce for the legislature is 272 permanent full-time positions. For permanent part-time positions, there are 279. And then we have 28 temporary employees for a total of 579 strength of a workforce. The budget actions that we are recommending and we accepted is a review of both the couple items that the governor had forwarded to us, the legislative council budget, and then the legislative budget and audit. First, I'll talk about the two items that we approved that the governor recommended, which is $707,000 of unrestricted general funds to swap out the loss of the restorative justice fund money in the Office of Victims' Rights. The next item was the $100,000 of unrestricted general funds for the security service contract in the Anchorage LIO office. This was an item that he had vetoed and then had put it in for this year's budget request. The next items that we approved were the legislative council and the legislative budget and audit. And these are the highlights of those. First and foremost, they established the Division of Technology and Information, pulling it out of administrative services into its own structure. With that, we transferred 65 positions from administrative services over to this new division, and then included the $4,059,700 that is associated with IT and technology services. There's also a small portion of $6,700 of interagency receipts. The next item was a $235,000 of general fund program receipts. This is for the assembly building apartments with rent collection, and this will be used for maintenance on that building. Next is the $90,800 of unrestricted restricted general funds for increased lease costs due to DOT's lease increases. Then we have 22,700 dollars of unrestricted general funds for the transition of a part-time employee to a full-time position in the Select Committee on Ethics. Then we had $100,000 unrestricted general fund for the part-time position being transitioned to a full-time position for our legislative security services here in the Capitol building. Then there was a transfer of 60 positions from the legislators' allowances, and they're broken up. The transfers is broken up into the following. 40 of those positions are going to the House legislature salaries, and then 20 positions are being moved to the Senate legislature salaries. Last year, the other body had created these two separate allocations, a House legislator salaries and the Senate legislative salaries, but had not transferred the positions over with them. So this is just a little bit of a cleanup. 581,000 of unrestricted general funds to ensure that if necessary, we can pay for a 30-day special session. And then finally, 375,000 of unrestricted general funds for the redistricting board for ongoing litigation that they were requested because there are two current open unresolved litigation cases. Madam Chairman, that summarizes the narrative and the closeout recommendation from the subcommittee.
Thank you. Is there questions, comments? Representative Josephson, and then followed by Representative Scott.
Through the chair, Mr. Anderson, can you explain the very first item, the restorative justice swap, and just sort of give me a reminder about why that was necessary?
Through the chair, Representative, absolutely. The Restorative Justice Fund is a fund that collects its sources of funding through the size of the PFD and from those that have it garnished garnishing that through those that are going to prison and things that are not eligible for the PFD. Because the PFD was smaller last year, that account has received a substantial less funding available for the distribution of it. And this is a fund source swap to UGF to cover the cost of that lost revenue.
Thank you. So I have a question then. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Scott, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. this is probably more to the subcommittee chair, but I'll kind of throw it out there anyways. And Mr. Anderson, don't expect you to answer. I don't know how is I don't know, maybe as a body, we wonder, is it wise to have two separate salary line items in the budget going forward? Because that seems like you could maybe change those numbers of in one body of the other body's salary. So
through the chair, out there. Through the chair, Representative, I would agree that that is a policy decision made at the legislative level. The way the other body handled it last year, this would be the necessary and proper way to resolve that for the upcoming year. But in the future, that could be a policy decision that could be addressed by the legislature as a whole.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I have a question that was right along with Rep. Stapp's question. So what exactly do you mean this is the way you have to handle it? I mean, it's not I know there was different things that went on, but I mean, I didn't know anything made it into an actionable item.
To the chair, Madam Chairman, with the way, and I might need a lifeline just to make sure I'm accurate, but I believe last year's budget, due to debate between the two bodies on how to handle various things like the compensation for the compensation bill and things like that, the Senate decided based off of those conversations to split up the salaries of what was available, or the salaries from the legislature, House, and the legislature for the Senate, just in case the House wanted to act in a different way for their salaries compared to the Senate. And then, so they split a single allocation into two, which was created last year in the budget that they forwarded to the governor. And for the cleanup of this year, because those two allocations existed this year, they didn't move the positions last year. So technically speaking, you had an allocation that would pay for 40 legislators, House members' salaries with no positions there. And so this is why the positions were moved over to meet the salary amount to the PCN count or the position count. And then same with the Senate. And if I need to at this point, if I believe Mr. Alexei Painter is also to maybe clarify my anything I might have gotten wrong or a better explanation.
So one other question I had then is, if I remember right, the House maybe reduced the office accounts in the past, and the Senate did not reduce theirs. So there's like a difference there. I guess I'll just have to look into it. No. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. That was this already an existing structure that was differentiated because we get different office accounts based on the House or the Senate, the allowable, and now they've moved our salary and positions also into that same two line items that was there because we get different amounts for office allowance accounts.
Through the chair, Representative, I think at this point it might be a good idea to bring up, just I'm not remembering the allocations for office expenses versus the allocations for salaries. Right. So,
very good. Mr. Painter, if you'd like to come forward and remind us of what has went before.
Thank you. For the record, Alexei Painter, Legislative Finance Division. So prior to the other body's actions last year, there was one allocation that was legislators' salaries and allowances that combined both the House and Senate, and that was both the actual salaries and those allowance accounts that were in one allocation. The move last year split up the salaries from the allowances and then also split the House and Senate salaries only, so the allowances are still combined in one allocation. A few years ago, there had been various structure moves when there's disagreements between the House and the Senate. Often they'll play out in terms of separating the House and the Senate, and then when that's resolved, they're often moved back together. So that we've seen that before with similar moves.
So thank you. So was there any discussion about putting them together? I mean, putting it back the way that it was?
Madam Chairman, at the subcommittee level, no. There was just the recognition that if these were going to remain, we should move the positions with them.
All right, thank you. Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. My question is about the special session, ensure special sufficient funding. This is new to me as a first-time member, so I'm not sure if this is the normal way this is handled, or is it... two questions. Part A, is this the way it's normally handled, or could it be as a supplemental like we do with fires and other things that come up? And second, part B to that question is this the estimated expenditure for the month in Juneau or in Anchorage or in some other part of Alaska?
Sure, Mr. Gavlin, I'll answer that one. So there's existing funding for a special session, but it's not sufficient for a full special session. That full cost is about $1 million. This brings that amount up to the full month worth of expenditures. The intention of this increment, and this was offered last year by the Legislative Council and put in the budget and then vetoed by the governor. The intention is to not have to pull from other parts of the budget if there's a special session. What's happened in past years when we've had a special session, we've had to transfer money within the legislative budget to pay those costs. And so the intention of this move by Legislative Council is just to reflect those costs up front and not have to do transfers after the fact to make the budget whole.
And to follow up on your part two, these costs are associated with a special session being held in Juneau with currently established support.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any more comments, questions, discussion on the legislature's budget? Seeing none. Next, thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next up, we have Department of Natural Resources with Representative Kronk. Representative Kronk, would you and your staff please come forward, come to the table, place yourself on the record, and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mike Kronk, representing District 36. I will turn this over to my staff, Sue Stampler.
Welcome to House Finance.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sue Stancliffe. I am staff to Representative Kronk. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Natural Resources held a total of three meetings and submit the following recommendations for the operating budget for FY25 to the full Finance Committee. Unrestricted general funds, $79,848,000. Designated general funds, $47,418,100. Other funds, $42,195,900. Federal funds, $18,616,200, for a total of $188,079,200. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee represent an increase of $5,538 in unrestricted general funds, an increase of $2,218,700 in designated general funds, and an increase of $334,200 in other state funds, and a decrease of $199,200 in federal receipts, for a total of $7,891,700, representing a 4.4% of all funds. Positions, the Department of Natural Resources has 745 full-time positions, 234 part-time positions, and 74 temporary positions. Budget actions for the subcommittee, after reviewing and discussing each of the governor's amended proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted all items by unanimous consent and made the following changes. Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, the subcommittee changed out a park ranger one to a park specialist, authorizing $199,000. This is specifically for the improvement of park maintenance in the Delta area. Mining, land, and water, we changed the increment for geological and geophysical survey to a three-year temporary increment of $1 million to conduct research on geothermal energy potentials in Alaska. Some of the highlights of the items accepted in the governor's request include authorization of $400,000 in general fund program receipts for reclassification and range flexibility of natural resource specialist positions, added $1,800,000 for incentive pay and recruitment and retention of wildland firefighters, authorized $900,000 of UGF, allowing timber sales receipts to fund expanded road access projects, added $1,500,000 for new leases for the Northern Region Warehouse and South Central Crew Facility, added $741,000 of general funds for navigability and revised statute RS-2477s, authorized the governor's amendment for the facilities of $578,000 for the lease renewal at the Fairbanks Denali building. Subcommittee amendments, Madam Chair, the chair set a deadline for amendments, welcomed amendments from all members. The subcommittee adopted two amendments, and both were intent language. The intent language adopted is as follows. It is the intent of the legislature that the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Forestry, shall provide a report detailing salvage sales, emergency sales, and expedited sale of timber, including the timeline of recent and pending sales, as well as acreage sold and resulting in state revenues. This report shall be provided to the co-chairs of finance and the legislative finance division by December 20th of 2024. The second intent language, Madam Chair, is the intent of the legislature that the Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry provide to the co-chairs of finance and to Ledge Finance Division at the conclusion of the calendar year 2024 fire season an estimate of supplemental funding needed for the remainder of FY25. At the time of the governor's FY25 supplemental budget transmittal, the department shall also provide to the co-chairs of finance and legislative finance division the fire cost summary report, providing a detailed breakdown of actual and projected expenditures for reimbursement. Attached are the reports that the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for DNR adopted: agency totals, transaction compare between base to House sub, transaction compare between Governor Amend to House sub, and the wordage language section. Thank you, Madam Chair. That is my report.
Very good. Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one brief question. It's regarding the, on page 2 of your presentation, the changed increment of geological and geophysical survey to a 3-year temporary increment of the $1 million for geothermal. My question was, I'm looking at now page 3 of the transaction compare, and now I don't know if we discussed this or not, but I'm seeing that it's a permanent full-time 2 positions. So I didn't know if the permanent full-time would be the right category, given that it looks like this has changed to 3-year temporary increment.
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, I believe that these are separate. They're not, they are employees, you know, in the geological survey area, but I don't believe that they are related specifically. I could be wrong.
Through the chair, if I may, a follow-up. Maybe if we could double-check, my memory is that it was $1 million for geothermal overall, but I'm happy if $2 million is now in the pot. I just, that was my memory at the time. If maybe we would find it somewhere else, the other million, I'm not sure.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just going to take a break. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Connor Bell is here with Ledge Finance, and he can certainly help me to answer that question.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Bell, if you would come forward, place yourself on the record, and I guess you heard the question, but if you need it clarified or need it repeated, did you hear it? Yeah. Okay, very good. All right. Go ahead.
For the record, this is Connor Bell, Fiscal Analyst, Legislative Finance Division. Through the chair, Representative Galvin, this subcommittee change is removing the governor's base increment for geothermal research and replacing it with a 3-year temporary increment. Both the House subcommittee's item and the governor's item have 2 permanent full-time positions. So they both are $1 million increments, both have 2 permanent full-time positions. The difference between the subcommittee and the governor's amended budget is the subcommittee only has a 3-year temporary increment. So it will be $1 million per year for 3 years.
Follow-up. So just for clarification, in the operating budget transaction compare on page 3, it's listed as full-time permanent position, and we're talking about funding the full-time permanent position for 3 years at this point. Is that the way that goes then?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, you are correct that those, while the increment is temporary, those positions are permanent. And the through the Executive Budget Act, the executive branch does have flexibility in changing positions. Also, those positions could be transitioned to something else, but you are correct that those are, it's a temporary funding, but those are permanent positions.
Okay, Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. I think that is, do we have any more questions? Seeing none, I see that we have been joined by Representative Ortiz. And thank you very much. We appreciate all the work and your diligent work that you've done on this department. Thank you. Oh, just so happens that Representative Staff is by the table, and he may have something to present. We next have the Department of Family and Community Services with Representative Staff. And Wood, go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Representative Will Stapp, and my staff will present the summary for the subcommittee process for Department of Family and Community Services.
Thank you, Representative Stapp. For the record, Bernard Aoto, staff to Representative Stapp. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Finance Committee. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Family and Community Services held a total of 5 meetings. And as a result of those meetings, the subcommittee submits the following recommendations. The subcommittee is recommending $259,230,300 in unrestricted general funds, $29,971,900 in designated general funds, $105,830,000 in other funds, and $85,178,600 in federal funds, for a total budget of $480,210,800 in all funds. When comparing this to the FY25 adjusted base, this budget reflects a $7,315,600 or 2.9% increase in unrestricted general funds, no change in designated general funds, a $2,355,600 or 2.3% increase in other funds, a $1,392,800 or 1.7% increase in federal funds, for a total increase of $11,064,000 or 2.4% in all funds. Moving to the positions column, the chair is accepting the recommendations of the governor regarding positions, and the subcommittee will close out with 1,866 permanent full-time positions, 11 permanent part-time positions, and 66 temporary positions, for a total of 1,943 positions. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, this represents no change in the total number of positions within the department. After consideration of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, all items were adopted with unanimous consent. And Madam Chair, I would like to highlight some of the items that are in this budget. Items that remained unchanged from the governor's proposal, which the subcommittee adopted, included a $1 million one-time increment in general funds to allow the department to retain legal counsel for a class action lawsuit, as well as $1,392,800 in federal receipt authority, $1,058,300 general fund match, and $2,548,900 general funds, a total of $5 million, to increase foster care base rates under the Office of Children's Services. Changes that were adopted by the committee included a temporary increment of $750,000 in general funds until fiscal year 2028 to support the resources needed to transition children with complex care needs to community-based settings in an effort to transition these youth out of the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. Another change was a $100,000 general fund increment to continue support for the People First Initiative grants. And the subcommittee also changed some wordage, thus reducing the authority granted to the commissioner of the Department of Family and Community Services to transfer between appropriations within the department from $10 million to $7.5 million. The subcommittee also added that the department will have to report annually to the legislature any transfers made in the previous fiscal year. Moving on to amendments. An amendment deadline was set and all members were afforded the opportunity to offer amendments. One amendment was received, and was ultimately not adopted by the subcommittee after discussion. The attached reports, along with the narrative, are the department agency totals, transaction comparisons between the FY25 adjusted base to subcommittee, transaction comparisons between the governor's amended budget and the subcommittee, as well as wordage. And that concludes my narrative report for the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Family and Community Services, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rowe and Representative Staff. We have two questions. I'm going to start with Representative Ortiz, followed by Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, to the Chair. Representative Staff, under the category of the following items are changed by a subcommittee, just remind me, what is the People First Initiative? What's that about? What are those grants about? The $100,000 for that?
For the record, Representative Staff, through the chair to Representative Ortiz, those are, you know, so I, you know, that amendment came from Representative McCormick, and he articulated kind of what the purpose was. It wasn't an amendment, it was placed prior. There are grant distributions to a bunch of different programs, mainly that go to rural Alaska, you know, kids. I can certainly get some more details on that, but if you'd like. Yeah.
Thank you.
You, Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. Representative Staff, my question is about the class action lawsuit, and I guess I want to know how long it's been going, the topic of it, how long it's been going on, what has the Department of Law already spent on it, trying to figure out why. Yeah,
through the chair to Representative Hannon. So this is this actually was kind of the one big topic that came up in debate. So why the need for a temporary $1 million appropriation within the department itself? The concept was to have them retain legal counsel because other similar cases that they looked at in other states that you know, the department didn't have the resources to kind of have the proper legal counsel, ended up getting drug out for multi-years, and then were quite expensive. When I talked to the commissioner, she cited, I think it was a case from Texas, ended up having to fork over, I think, something around $12 million, right? As far as the Department of Law, that certainly would be an interesting conversation. I'm not sure if they have an existing what's called reimbursable services agreement. Typically, that's how we do those things. But, it was definitely an interesting item in the budget, and that's about all I have on that. So,
and I wanted to remind members that these are just a report back to the Finance Committee. Representative Staff is probably available after the committee today or at some further time, and then especially when it gets over into Department of Law and so on, which is a different department, I guess I would, and while it's in this budget, I would, we'll have an opportunity when we get into the CSs and the additional amendments to have maybe a little bit more of a discussion about it.
Could I ask one follow-up of
sure.
What the topic of it is and when the litigation began? So I'm looking to just see if it started last fiscal year or if it's just we're anticipating that it's, I don't know anything about when this happened. And so it's a.
For the record, Bernard Odo, through the chair to Representative Hannon, I'm not too sure exactly when the lawsuit started, but it's regarding the organization. It's called ABC, and it's a civil lawsuit. I believe it was from last year, but I'm not too sure.
If I could.
Representative Josephson.
For the record, Madam Chair, and I need to know more about this, but the discussion that was had in subcommittee was about, I think it relates to the DOJ investigation and whether we're doing right by children in Alaska, fundamentally. And the maker of the motion, who sat on the subcommittee, questioned whether we should reach a settlement and do it more cheaply than litigating. But there wasn't a great in-depth discussion of the merits of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
That was an amendment. It was a committee amendment.
Yeah,
it wasn't in the governor's budget.
Madam Chair, for the record, through this representative staff, through the chair, Representative Justin, and other members of the committee. Yeah. So I always kind of caution about diving into legal cases and who's at fault and liability. I think that's kind of outside the purview of kind of the budgetary items. So the amendment actually was a reduction in the amount of money, right? That's what the amendment would have done. And we rejected the reduction. Just on the purposes of, you know, this is probably a conversation that, say, the Judiciary Committee has and other folks have as far as the finance stuff. You know, again, I try to tread carefully along, you know, those types of discussions, especially when you have active litigation. So thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you. All right, additional questions? Thank you for your closeout, Representative Stapp and Mr. Odo. That was for the Department of Family and Community Services Subcommittee report. And the next up, we'll continue with Representative Stapp and Mr. Odo with the Department of Health budget. Go ahead and as you choose, whoever's going to present, go ahead and start your presentation.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the records, Representative Stapp, my staff, Bernard Otto, will begin the presentation.
Thank you again, Representative Stapp. And for the record again, Bernard Otto. Thank you, Madam Chair. The members of the Finance Committee, the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Health, held a total of 5 meetings, and as a result of those meetings, the subcommittee submits the following recommendations. We have $973,183,500 in unrestricted general funds, $54,693,100 in designated general funds, $98,171,500 in other funds, and $2,337,512,100 in federal funds, for a total budget of $3,463,560,200 in all funds. When comparing this to the FY25 adjusted base, this budget reflects a $6,905,600 or 0.7% decrease in unrestricted general funds, a $171,900 or 0.3% increase in designated general funds, a $308,796,800 or 15.2% increase in federal funds, an overall increase of $301,162,800 or 9.5% in all fund sources. Going to the positions column, the chair is accepting the recommendations of the governor regarding positions and will be closing out with 1,536 permanent full-time positions, 5 permanent part-time positions, and 60 temporary positions, a total of 1,601. Compared to the FY adjusted base, this represents an increase of 25 or 1.7% in permanent full-time positions, and no changes in permanent part-time or temporary positions within the department. After consideration of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, most of the items were adopted by the subcommittee. At this time, I'd like to highlight some of the items there, Madam Chair. Items that remained unchanged from the governor's proposal, which the subcommittee adopted, included $862,300 general fund match, along with $897,400 in federal receipt authority, a total of $1,759,700 to support funding 20 permanent positions that were authorized by the legislature in fiscal years 23 and 24 within the Division of Public Assistance Field Services Allocation for Eligibility Technicians, as well as a $4,151,100 general fund match, along with $10,237,600 in federal receipt authority to fund the second year of Medicaid eligibility for postpartum mothers in support of SB 58, a governor's bill that was passed by the legislature in fiscal year 24. Changes that were adopted by the committee included a $10 million reduction in Medicaid services in anticipation of decreased utilization as the Medicaid redetermination process continues, an increment of $935,000 general fund match with $935,000 in federal receipt authority, a total of $1,870,000 to maintain the operations of the Health Information Exchange, a temporary increment of $1.5 million in general fund match, until fiscal year 2030 in the epidemiology and public health laboratories allocations to support efforts to eliminate congenital syphilis in Alaska, a temporary increment of $500,000 general fund match until fiscal year 2030 in the public health laboratories, nursing, and epidemiology allocations to support efforts to eliminate tuberculosis in Alaska. The subcommittee also changed some wordage, reducing the authority granted to the commissioner of Department of Health to transfer between appropriations except from Medicaid services within the department from $15 million to $10 million. The department will continue to report annually to the legislature any transfers made in the previous fiscal year. Moving on to amendments, an amendment deadline was set, and all members were afforded the opportunity to offer amendments. There were a total of 12 amendments received. The subcommittee adopted 2 amendments and rejected 6 amendments, and 4 amendments were either not offered or withdrawn. The amendments adopted by the subcommittee included a $1.2 million increase in general funds, which restored the funding that was listed as a decrement for public health nursing grants, as well as an $821,500 increment in general funds, along with accompanying intent language to support increased rates for the General Relief Temporary Living Assistance Program. The attached reports, along with this narrative, are the department agency totals, transaction comparisons between the FY25 adjusted base to subcommittee, transaction comparisons between the governor's amended budget and the subcommittee, as well as wordage. And that concludes my presentation for the Department of Health Manager.
Thank you very much. Comments, questions? Last committee report. Wow. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Governor.
Excellent. I do want to say I do truly appreciate all the work that everyone has done to get these subcommittees worked through. I know every member here on this committee has worked tremendously hard to be able to do all of the things, look through the budget and so on, and hopefully it'll free up a little bit more time in your schedule. Before we adjourn, I have a brief clarification read in the record as follows. Technical corrections made by Legislative Finance do not include corrections to subcommittee closeout narratives. These are prepared and signed by legislative offices. Therefore, any corrections to these documents must be made by such offices. The $200 error in the Department of Transportation's closeout narrative pointed out by Representative Galvin has been corrected by Representative Tomaszewski's office. As tomorrow's, just so everyone knows, tomorrow's 8:30 House Finance Committee meeting is canceled, and the committee's next meeting will be Monday, March 11 at 1:30 p.m. And without any further business, seeing no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 2:18 p.m.